Lofthouse on BBC Radio Leeds. Now, Dr. Bob Gummersall from West Yorkshire used to be a physics teacher, then he became an accidental entrepreneur. In between all this, he's done various things, including walking up mountains and creating a medical equipment building business. His latest venture is a book called Worthwhile Wealth, an entrepreneur's guide to success that satisfies, and he's on the line now. Hi there, Dr. Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So should I refer to you as Dr. Bob?
Pardon?
Should I refer to you as Dr. Bob?
No, just Bob will do that.
Bob will do, okay.
Bob, really.
It's lovely to speak to you, Bob. Listen, let's start at the beginning then, shall we? I mentioned there that you were a physics teacher. Just tell us about that job and what was it like?
Well, I love teaching. I taught at... first of all, in Manchester Grammar School, and then taught at Bradford Grammar School, where I was head of physics, and I loved the job, really. It was great. I enjoyed it very much. I really liked working with teenagers, especially.
Do you know what? We were talking yesterday a lot about school and school subjects on yesterday's show, with it being GCSE Results Day, and our producer, Becky, she had a quote from her physics teacher, which said that she didn't grasp the situation at all. Did you have many students like that back in the day?
Well... I was very lucky, really. I had some great students. And, I mean, I do think there's a real problem with physics teachers, the shortage of physics teachers. That's one of the reasons I wrote my original CD-ROMs years ago, was to try to improve the quality of it.
Why do you think that is, then?
I think it's a difficult subject, but also there are lots of other career opportunities for people who do physics, and so a lot of them don't have to go into teaching. We only produce about 3,000 physics graduates a year in this country. And there's loads of places they can go. A lot end up in business or in computing, and actually in finance as well, which is a waste of talent, in my opinion. But that's where a lot go.
Wow.
So there's just a shortage, really, of teachers.
So after being a physics teacher, as I mentioned, you became an accidental entrepreneur. Tell me about that. How do you become an accidental entrepreneur?
Well, as I mentioned, I had to learn, first of all, I had to learn about electronics. And so I sort of designed a piece of medical equipment for that, and I thought, well, I might as well start selling it. So we did. We sold it in, we created an audiometer for GPs, a thing for testing hearing, and we sold those. That was our first business, but it kind of was just almost came as an accident. Then I realized that there's an opportunity to create physics CD-ROMs for teaching physics, as I said earlier. And so I started creating those and selling those. This was right at the beginning of the CD-ROM era. In fact, I started before that. And we sold those for quite a few years through a company called BTL Publishing into schools, and quite a lot of schools bought them. Wow. And they still look pretty good now, actually. That's about 30 years ago, but yeah. That's what we did.
Wow. So Bob, you're like a proper entrepreneur. What are your thoughts these days when you see a lot of, like, especially young people, and, you know, complete fair play to people who can make some money in this world and do something that they enjoy doing, then fair play. But, like, there are lots of young people, especially on social media now, who are becoming entrepreneurs and becoming very rich from doing, maybe not so, I don't want to be rude, but maybe not doing something quite as meaningful as what you did. What's your thoughts on that these days?
Well, yes, I do think it's really important that people try to do something meaningful. I mean, my book is about that subject. It is important they don't just aim to make money and that's all there is to it. And I think long term, it's the only way you can get satisfaction is by doing things that are useful, which you enjoy doing and which are useful to society. And I've always felt that that's much more valuable than just making money a quick fix. And I think it's quite important not to just do things that are useless. I mean, gambling, a lot of finance activity is just useless, really. And I think it would be great if more young people are going into business. It would be great if they chose to do things which were valuable and useful. And I think a good example of that is anything to do with sustainability, this whole eco kind of area. There are loads of opportunities there. And in fact, in my book, I devote a whole chapter to opportunities in that sort of area. And I'm hoping lots of young people will have a go at some of those areas, really.
Is that why you've written this book then? Because the title would suggest that. The title is Worthwhile Wealth, an Entrepreneur's Guide to Success That Satisfies. So is it something that sparked this idea in you with, like I say, the recent boom of sort of influencers and things like that?
Well, exactly. And there's too much of a focus, as you said, on making money and making a big buck, and that's it. Far more important, I think, to focus on why you're doing the business, where it's going to go, whether it's a value to society, whether you enjoy doing it yourself, whether your community thinks it's useful, all those things are much more important than actually making a big whack of money. I mean, beyond a certain point, there's no point in any more money anyway. And so thinking about what you're doing and whether it's of value, I think, is so much more important, especially when you're starting a business, thinking about where to go in addition to just making money. And I've got examples in the book of some people that just do a one-person business and been very successful. Some people have done altruistic businesses, and some people have created really big, successful businesses. But all of them of value to society, really.
I've heard like interviews in the past with entrepreneurs and people who are incredibly rich, and sometimes they'll mention things where like they feel maybe a little bit wrong that they've got this kind of money. And so I suppose what you're saying here in this book, having success that satisfies you, have you ever felt that yourself? Because obviously I presume you've made a fair bit of money,
Well,
but as I said, you've done something that is very worthwhile and is helping people.
I know lots of entrepreneurs who've made a lot of money, and the thing a lot of them say is, now I've made the money, I can do what I want. And a lot of them say, and actually, I don't know what I want to do. And that's really common. And I think that's because they've never thought beyond just making the money and never thought, well, what is the whole point of that? And I mean, one of the things I say is, get yourself doing either a job or creating a business that you love, even if it doesn't make as much money, because that way you spend a lot of your life working. And if you're working on something just to make money, then your life will pass you by, and you'll miss out on so much. And at the end, what have you got? Well, some money. What are you going to do with it? You can't take it to the grave with you.
No. A friend of mine always says there's no point being richest man in graveyard. He always says that to me.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not about making, I do think it's not about making, the best businesses are always the ones where people have a clear vision about what they're trying to do and why they want to do it. And usually it's got to be of benefit to society. And that's I feel very strongly about that, really.
So what has been your most satisfying and successful venture that you've had in your life then, Bob?
Well, it turns out it was my first business. It eventually turned into a computerized exam business. So we'd computerize exams all around the world now, about 140 countries use our technology. And so that's turned into a very, very successful business. But I'm very interested in what that can do for the future, because the holy grail really is personalized learning and using the computer help do what a private tutor does. And we're still working on that. We're trying to do something with that now. And so that's kind of the next. I'm always looking forward to what I want to do, really, rather than what's happened in the past. But I'm particularly pleased about that business.
How does it feel, Bob? Because I would imagine that's an entrepreneur's dream to develop something that then is used worldwide. What is that feeling like for you when you see this being used all over the world and helping people?
Well, it's great. It feels great. But to be honest, I'm always looking forward, really. I kind of feel when I've done something, I kind of lose interest in it up to about. I better not say that too much, because colleagues who are working on that will might hear me, and so that's a bit of. I do love that, and I'm really pleased about it. But looking forward, I'm really interested in what we can do next, really, and what we can do for education.
But it's funny you should say that. Do you think that's the key to being a good entrepreneur? As in, like, not just like you said, you've not just come up with an idea and then gone, right, I can wash my hands of that now, I've made me money. You're thinking about the next thing. And I suppose that is the kind of perfect description of an entrepreneur, isn't it?
Well, certainly a lot of people know me will say I'm not that interested. I mean, obviously you need enough to live on, and I'm very happy with that, and we're very pleased I've got enough to live on. But I'm really much more interested in where it's all going. And there's always something new. I mean, looking back to when we started, using computers for learning and for assessment seemed, impossibly far ahead. But in a way, you've got to get in early with these things. You know, if you get in early, then there's a much better chance of making something happen.
And who is this book aimed at then? Who are the type of people that you want to read this book?
It aims at anybody who's dissatisfied with their life, but particularly, and it's saying really one way to look at it is either change your job or especially young people who might want to start a business, how to go about it, think about where you're going to go with it and think about more than just money in what you're doing. But also people maybe in their late, in their middle ages who are fed up with their work, hate their job, and are looking to do something else with their life. And it might not just be about creating a big business. It might just be about moving into a small business that just meets their lifestyle. I mean, I've got a friend who gave up teaching and set up some, he loves music, loves singing, and set up some choirs, and he runs those. And it's obviously not a spectacularly big earner, but it's a great lifestyle, and he loves doing it.
Amazing. Listen, Bob, thank you so much for coming on and chatting to us. If anybody wants to get a hold of your book, as I said, it's called Worthwhile Wealth, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Success That Satisfies. Where can they buy it?
Well, you can, it's available from the 10th of September, and you can buy any decent bookshop or on Amazon. But we've got a special offer on the 9th of September, 10 o'clock, from 10 o'clock, 99p for a Kindle version on Amazon. So, you know, that would be great if people are interested in, they could go there and get that special deal on Amazon at 10 o'clock on the 9th of September.
Oh, there's the entrepreneur coming out in you there, getting that deal in there. I love it. Thanks so much, Bob. Lovely to speak to you.
Okay, nice talking to you, Sam. Bye now.